Our next presenter is Oliver Knapp from Nokia. He's working as a consultant engineer for IP product at Nokia. And in this talk, he explores current technologies and advances in DDoS, countermeasures, mitigation, faster detection, and all that stuff. So please welcome Oliver for his talk.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Sieger, for the introduction. Yes, Oliver, you've already seen it. The other thing, yeah, there's a Nokia logo on that slide here. I want to say one single thing about Nokia. We do not produce mobile phones anymore, okay? Okay, forward. DDoS is a topic we can easily talk about half a day, a full day, whatever it is. Real DDoS defense expert is a job profile on its own. These are really specialized people here. And 30 minutes here is a pretty narrow presentation slot. So inherently, we won't be able to cover everything here in 30 minutes. And we can only scratch the surface a bit on this and that point here. So bear with me. Let's try to shed some light onto a few things, but necessarily not all of it. No? If you want more, I mean, I'll be around for the rest of the day. My Nokia colleagues are going to be around. Whoever else is involved in DDoS or defending DDoS will be around. So, hey, guys, it's a starter to have talks, okay? As per the DNOG rules, I'm not talking about specific products. That's the idea. And it's rather about, well, what is it? What is the policies to deal with it? And what are the general technical approaches here? Good. I'll try to buy my tongue as hard as possible. If something is about to slip through, I hope I still manage not to leak anything. But that's not the intention here, okay? Good. On the agenda, first of all, DDoS. What's it? How does it work? Why does it happen? And who makes it happen? Should be an easy one. The next thing is strategies to deal with DDoS attacks. Strategies is really about what does it mean for you and what options do you have? That's really about politics, not politics or policies. It's not yet about technology. And the section three is then technology. It's really DDoS countermeasures. What can you do? What options are out there? What methods are there? And what of this can you do? And well, final then conclusion, let's do a quick wrap up. What, why, and who? DDoS, pretty easy thing. Some bad people somewhere out there, gazillions of hijacked devices worldwide under their control doing the actual dirty work, sending you pretty useless traffic and requests, eating up your resources, whatever that might be, network resources, server resources, bandwidth, customer resources. They disturb your business or disturb your customers, and they threatening you or your customers that you might lose money. And at the same time, they make you an offer in parallel that you better couldn't refuse. Huh? The easy thing is to stay away from the bad guys. Thanks God it's easy to tell who the bad guys are. It's those people with dark hoodies typing strange stuff in their laptops, okay? So if you see those, run. DDoS attacks have evolved over time. I mean, it started in the 2000s, more or less, and these were pretty easy attacks, actually. DNS reflection attacks, NTP reflections, all that kind of stuff. So that was easy. You used some responders out there in the net that didn't check the source addresses and sent back traffic to your network. Nobody can trace you back. It's all nice and shiny, and you get shitloads of traffic here that you don't want to deal with. It is easy to deal with because it's strange protocols, it's malformed packets, whatever. It's things that you can filter out because it's not real traffic. So that was an easy approach here. Regrettably, these times have passed, and we've at least evolved into the middle here, where we come to botnets. The difference is these botnets are now sending realistic traffic. So they are sending you real HTTP requests, SIP requests, DNS, whatever it is, all that kind of stuff. So now it becomes hard to tell. Well, it's not a malformed packet that I can easily detect with a packet filter and throw away, but it's something which I can only see at the application layer where it's actually already too late. I have already eaten resources here. So this is going to be a bit more difficult to deal with traditional DDoS mitigation appliances. And also the guys who are doing this have changed. I mean, in the first case on the left side, it was mostly amateurs and script kiddies, whatever it is. In the middle, we are already in criminal gangs who make a living out of this, actually, or even state-affiliated actors. That's part of policy today, now, regrettably. Again, these things have evolved. Nowadays, we are at a point where even artificial intelligence has kicked in, even in DDoS. Yeah, I mean, everybody's doing something with AI. The bad guys are also doing something with AI, and that makes it hard, right? Because, I mean, the thing is still, they send you application traffic that's in principle valid, and that's hard to tell. But they have now also introduced automation and feedback loops and whatever in machine learning. So they are seeing, well, how do you react? What countermeasures are you pulling? And how do they need to change their attack schemes to be still successful? So these guys have really evolved in what they use here, and that makes it hard for you. And again, I mean, the actors here, no longer script kiddies. These are professionals, regrettably, on the wrong side of the fence. DDoS protection goals. What actually do you want to protect? You can start with the easiest case. You have one single customer who is under attack and who asks you, help me, I'm under attack here. Then the next area would be a group of customers in the same area of your network. So, okay, if you have a German-wide network, in the area of Berlin, there's something going on. You're eating up network capacity, but Stuttgart is still fine, okay? Again, going up the ladder a bit, your whole customer base. Yeah, if it affects your whole customer base, this can be a financial risk for you quite, because the people are paying you for providing service. So if it's your whole customer base, you definitely need to do something. And if your whole network capacity is attacked in the next level, then it becomes really critical here. I mean, do you still own your network, basically, and can you manage it? I have two more points here that I do not want to cover today. I mean, your whole network, including operations, guys, make sure you can still reach your routers and configure them if something is happening in your network. So, I mean, whilst people just providing internet service normally don't do much about QoS compared to other service operators for business services, make sure you can reach the CLI of your router and it still answers when under attack. So at least a minimal level of QoS you need to have. Yeah, and the final thing then, your whole network, including the upstream connections, yeah, that's then a case for remote triggered blackholing. I mean, what can you do if already your uplinks to the outside world are clogged? Focus is therefore the upper dark black items here. What can you do in and for your network up to the edges? The strategies to deal with DDoS. What can you do about it? How can you handle the problem, actually? That's the point here. Not technically, but what do you think? How do you position yourselves? The first option here is quite an easy one. It's duck and cover. The older ones of us will still remember these fancy videos here, how to protect against the nuclear strike. You duck and cover and go under your desk and everything is going to be fine, right? So don't spend time and money on solving a problem that you don't have yet, maybe. You'll deal with it when the time has come. I mean, you have never been attacked by DDoS up to now, so yeah, probably it won't ever happen again. And they won't hit you in the future. You're not an interesting target anyway, and who could want to attack you? So don't worry. And if it happens, yeah, then we still have time to deal with it. We look how it goes. I mean, how hard can it be? Yeah. The last option is, I mean, if they attack you, if you can't stop it, if at that point you can't do anything, there's still the option of paying. But I mean, paying supports the business model of the DDoS attacker, so, and you're also not sure, will they really stop, or did they say, are they saying, it worked once to make them pay, so let's try it a second time. So that's not a good approach here, and I mean, you can try to be under the radar, that's not a problem, and you need to decide, is it worth it, and are you really small, irrelevant, whatever, you name it, enough, or are you is your defense line strong enough already? But if it goes wrong on day X, this is going to cost you. And it can be quite some expensive dollars. Option two, you do something yourself. I mean, of course, you got all the skills and the tools to do something yourself, no problem. You can code something yourself, maybe in your lunch break, no problem. I mean, if the vendors can code it, you can code it as well. In principle, that's right. There's no other tools on the vendors than you have yourself. Nothing on the market off the shelf can be as good and can fit your network as well as your own stuff could ever be. Yeah, that's a valid approach here. So why would you spend some money for something that you can get for free and it's going to be even better? Nice approach. Two things here. First of all, unless you work for free, coding that stuff isn't for free because your time is paid. So whatever you produce does have a cost. And the longer you take to code it, the higher is the cost of that thing. And by the way, while you're coding that, you probably don't do the other things that your job would include. Second problem, what if it turns out you were not as good as you thought, or the attackers are a slight bit better than you are? Then you also have a problem. I mean, same conclusion here, be aware of the risk. It will cost you some amount of money today for your time to develop something, and it might cost you even more money if it goes wrong on day X. Option three, buy some commercial solution. I mean, you all know it. I'm not going to say any product names, but there is solutions out there for DDoS, and there are some classics. You know them. You can go out, buy that. It's a product, so people programmed it who know what they're doing. Yeah, there's different levels of efficiency, protection, cost scaling, you name it. The question is it an out-of-the-box solution? Is it a one-size-fits-it-all solution? So if you buy it and a really big telco buys it, are they going to buy the same thing here? Or is it configuration and tuning that's required, and probably worse, even required on an ongoing basis? The point here is, bear in mind the effort for maintaining the whole thing. It's not just purchasing it once and then saying, fire and forget, I'm going to be safe for all times. You need to evaluate and choose what fits you and your network and your profile here. One key problem here is, regrettably, you can't evaluate today how you're going to be attacked tomorrow. So you can't say today how good the solution is going to perform tomorrow on what you don't know yet how they're going to attack you. That's a risk. But I mean, what options do you have? One thing that's a corporate politics thing, I mean, I come from a very big company here. At least you're not guilty for doing something worse than the other ones are doing it. If you buy the standard market solution, you've done your due diligence, and I mean, millions of flies eat, you know, so it's, if you eat the same thing, then it can't be that bad. And yeah, that's probably one of the reasons why we all have Teams and Office 365 and whatever. Yeah, all the others are doing it as well, so it can't be that wrong. That approach here will cost you some money, yes, for purchasing a solution, and it will cost you some money for keeping it up to date over time. But on the other hand, if it helps you to save some big dollars on day X and also all the aftermath and customer churn and whatever it is, you need to judge whether that's a good investment. Yeah, and the fourth option here is buying DDoS protection as a service. I mean, to some extent, DDoS protection is a standard offering by upstream providers or other large operators like special CDNs, whatever it is. So you can go out and just say, I want to purchase that service here. The good thing is, there's lots of experience there, because those are people doing nothing else than dealing just with DDoS on a daily basis. They do nothing else, and they just focus on that. And if they have that focus, they are hopefully pretty good in doing that, because they are not distracted by anything else, and they don't have any more important things to do at the time. Yeah? So after all, they might know better what to do on day X than you could ever know yourself, simply because they are dealing with it more frequently and more deeply. A good thing is, it relieves you from handling all that stuff by yourself continuously. I mean, as I said, it's not just buying it, it's also keeping updated. So these guys do that for you. And again, you're not guilty for doing some wrong things. I mean, the worst thing that some management can come to you is that you choose the wrong DDoS protection provider. But I mean, outsourcing that to experts, always a good strategy. Yeah, it costs some money, yeah, my budget is there, oh cool, but you're not guilty, you did the right thing, you looked into it and said, yeah, let the experts deal with it, good story. No one ever got fired for buying IBM. This is going to cost you some dollars for a service, and it's going to be on an ongoing basis. That's the point, each month you pay again. Hopefully real experts are going to handle this for you. On the other hand, you're saving the invest into your own gear that you need to deploy and keep updated, and also the specialized staff to run it. So it might be a valid option. Now for the technical stuff. The building blocks to counter DDoS on a tech level are actually pretty simple and basic. It's just three here, and that's why I put four. It's monitor and detect, it's analyze, and then it's mitigate. And then the small line is interesting, and repeat as required. It's not a one-off thing. You need to go do that on a continuous loop. How does it work? Monitor and detect. First of all, get data from your network. I mean, your network, you need the good case and you need the bad case, so start gathering data. What's happening in your network on a good day? And you can compare what's happening on a bad day. Bandwidth stats alone are pretty coarse and are clearly not sufficient for DDoS protection, no point. Flow information is nice. See FlowD here, use that. It's fine-grained. The problem is it produces lots of data that you need to collect, store, and you need to look into it, evaluate it. See FlowD, well-known mechanism, no problem at all. You probably have it deployed already. There is one disadvantage of CFlowD. It uses a flow cache. So it samples packets, it creates flow out of these, and only when a flow has expired, it reports it, or in discrete time intervals, which means a timer has to run off before you get the reporting of your flows. And this is, you introduce a delay of 30 to 60 seconds depending on your settings, and this is time you are never getting back. Once you've lost these seconds, you're doomed. I mean, you can't make that up anywhere later in the process. So what we would suggest here is use sampled port mirroring. That's like regular port mirroring, but only every 1,000, every 10,000 packet, whatever it is. So send sampled port mirroring data to a collector and to your DDoS protection system. This happens immediately. You see it on the lower graph here. NetFlow takes 30 to 60 seconds, reports the IP header what it is, and sampled port mirror works in less than a second, sends the header and some sort of payload to your DDoS protection system. And that's what you can have as a result up there here. There's three graphs on that. We've taken that from a real customer here with permission. The first graph on the left is here, sample port mirroring tells you there's something going on, there's traffic coming in. Then we have the time span of about 30 seconds. After 30 seconds, you have the dashed line here. SPM reports now, okay, we can drop that DDoS traffic. So the DDoS protection system has done its job. And only afterwards, there's the fine dotted line. This is the graph of when flow data reported by CFlowD starts to recognize that there is something happening at all. So that's why this point is that important. You lost time. CFlowD makes you lose time here. Sample port mirroring is the tool to use. Check vendor support for your DDoS protection system and check vendor support on your router. And yeah, in conclusion here, using sample port mirroring, DDoS traffic was already dropped before CFlowD was able to just report it. Analyze your traffic, good or bad. You now have lots of gathered data of your network. You need to learn to deal with it. I mean, all the data doesn't help you much if you can't pull conclusions out of it. What is good or bad? How do you interpret all that? Well, you need to start distinguishing protocol flavors, well-known endpoints, where's traffic coming from, where's going, add knowledge of your own network. Is it coming from peerings? Is it coming from your own customers? Don't exclude that. Yeah, your customers are not all friendly, or they don't know that they have unfriendly devices in their network. Generally, the more and the better data you have, the more and better DDoS mitigation options you're going to have, and the more precise you can be. Data is the key here to being efficient. You have a base tool set, you have rule sets here, you have thresholds and you have actions and say, yeah, if it's that much traffic coming in, then it's likely going to be attack with this, then do this, that, do drop filter, whatever. So these are all actions that need to work based on your gathered data. The question is, who maintains all of these and on what basis does he or she do that? One thing is experience that you need. And the other thing is here, you know, can you do that manual or do you need some automation to deal with that? I mean, it's a shitload of work and it's a shitload of effort, so yeah, probably automation might be good. And final question, how good can this ever be if you do that and just work with thresholds, or is there anything better? Again, a graph on this one here. I mean, on the left side, you see how does such a system regularly look like. You have some classes of traffic here, and you have time intervals, and you have trigger rates, and you have high severity rates, and you already see there's quite a list of misuse types here on the left side that all need parameters that you need to set. You get a set of default parameters by the system vendor, but the rest of it is tuning that needs to fit your network. And on the right one, that's from the classic DDoS protection system. You have dirty traffic sent to a scrubbing center, and you get clean traffic in return. Now watch the traffic graphs. The traffic graphs that come back from the scrubbing center to some extent match exactly what you sent there. So you thought that would be dirty traffic. The scrubber looks into it and sends it back, says, no, that was clean traffic, by the way. So these are a lot of false positives here that eat up your scrubbing capacity, by the way. And scrubbing capacity is expensive, huh? So something clearly goes wrong here with that simple approach of just using thresholds. If there's no difference between clean and dirty traffic, yeah, then why did we divert it there? Good. So it's all about interpreting collected flow data, and that's an art on its own, as said. You need to monitor it, you need to detect and learn about patterns. You need to monitor how well your countermeasures work in reality, and you make constant changes to it, the attackers make constant changes to it, so you need constant learning. You need to have a continuous loop of actions and evaluation of that actions, and there you are, that's a perfect case for machine learning and AI, actually. Pattern recognition, nice thing, IT can handle that. Why am I saying that? We have a nice quote here from a tier one operator in the Nordics that we work with, and he said clearly, setting up, and here would be the product name that I'm not going to mention, and keeping up with threshold maintenance is a full-time job. So they say they need a full head there to do just nothing else than to tune these parameters of the DDoS protection system. The other thing that you can do on technology, you can share experiences and learn data with others. You're not the first one to be attacked. And if all customers of a DDoS protection vendor share what they gathered, what they learned from, then others can benefit from it. So that's a community approach. And I mean, we're all a community in here, so we see the community thing works. That also works for DDoS protection. And you need to get into learning about traffic sources that are out there on the internet. You need to see how do source devices on the internet behave? What are the attributes? You need to learn that, and you need to put that in a big data item here, in a big database. And I mean, that's there today. CPU is there, memory is there, storage is there. So big data is a thing that works. Yeah? And this is what you can use here. The basic thought about it is, if a device out there was part of a DDoS attack yesterday, attacking someone else, how likely is it that today it's going to send legitimate traffic into your network? So what you can do here is really you can try to build a security threat map of the internet, or you can have somebody else do that. I mean, ask your DDoS protection whenever they have that. The idea is this. I mean, crawling the internet is a quick thing today. I mean, bandwidth is there. Lots of people crawl the internet for various purposes. The bad people crawl the internet to find devices they can hijack. So why can't you or a DDoS protection vendor not crawl the internet and see what's out there and learn about these hosts again. Then you have the DDoS samples from protected customers and also honeypots you might set up. Then you get visibility. What devices are out there? What are they doing? What processes are running there? I mean, what HTTP daemons, whatever, are running on these devices? Do these have known security flaws? Look into it. I mean, software details, CVEs, that's all there. You take the data that you have crawled and you enrich it, and you learn about what's out there. And that's an important thing, because this you can feed into your DDoS protection system. Actually, the whole thing is gather metadata, what's out there, and learn about sources of where the traffic is coming. There's lots of sources, no question. But I mean, yeah, you don't handle this manually. You handle this automated, OK? And it's not just looking at where does this traffic go in your network. It's where does it come from. Simple thing here, looking at such a DDoS database here, I mean, the background here is an excerpt from the DDoS database here. You see it's sorted by IP address. It has some tags here, and you see that an IP address here runs a light HTTP daemon. It was part of a DDoS botnet, whatever. And we've tried it out. I mean, we've taken that IP address here. We just put it in a browser. And from anywhere on the net, we get the login page of what turns out to be a video recorder that's directly attached to the internet that runs a vulnerable HTTP daemon. Okay, and these are the things you can learn and that you can put in a database that you know. I mean, if you and your company run a backend for a German banking app, whatever it is, it's pretty unlikely that a Chinese video recorder has a bank account there. And that's what I mean with metadata. You know, if this device is sending traffic to you, it's very likely not good traffic. So how do you mitigate the whole thing? You figure that there is dirty traffic coming to your network, or it's already in there. What to do with it? Two simple options. I mean, the first one is the classic one. You have special cleaning and scrubbing appliances. This is very nice and specialized gear. It works. It's quite fancy. It's not cheap. That's the downside of it, yeah? But I mean, you need to bring it into a network, which you don't want to tamper with IP addresses, whatever. So basically, you need to install two routing instances in your network, one to get traffic there, one to get traffic back. clean traffic, dirty traffic, on-ramp, off-ramp, you can do that, no problem. And what do you do with encrypted traffic? Because, I mean, if you don't want to go into spoofing certificates, whatever, encrypted traffic, not a nice thing. Alternative way, you don't want to spend that much money, use what you already have, your routers. Your routers can do filtering. The question is, how granular is this going to be, how efficient, how much throughput? And I've already mentioned, you can still reach your routers while you're under DDoS attack, right? So you can still configure these filters. Huh? How does it work? You look at your routers at your network edges. This is where you want to put filters, clear thing. And also, again, it's not only your upstreams that might attack you. It might also be your downstream customers here. So you need filters at both places. Yeah, we've already said, use sample port mirroring, send it to a DDoS protection engine. Take the info from the DDoS database here, the metadata, then compile some rules, push them out with NetFlow, whatever, and give some nice reports to the person running that here. With that, you save the effort for running two instances of network for on-ramp and off-ramp. And I mean, you use equipment that you already paid for. One thing, make sure your filters perform. I'm going to do this short. I mean, we've tried it out with two routers here. 100 filter entries matching 100 destination IPs. This is 10K match clauses in total. And we've just sent traffic through in a lab that matches the default entry at the bottom here. Okay, so that's a classic black hole filter. And we are sending good traffic through it that doesn't match any of the other clauses. And even there, with that particular router in red, we reduced traffic by, throughput by 1/3. By just sending clean traffic, we are not dropping anything here. It's really just by having the DDoS black hole filters in there configured, we reduce the throughput. And if you put 64K entries in total, then it's going to be even worse. So the message is, talk to your vendor, check it, and test it. Go in a lab. You don't want to limit throughput in the good times by preparing for the bad times. Continuously readjust what you're doing. If you have a DDoS engine here, I mean, you have the classification engine, then you have the brain in the middle, and you have your routers out there at the edges. The brain needs to do the continuous loop here that we have, get metadata from the classification engine, select some candidates of the out of possible countermeasures, evaluate how well they would fit this particular attack that's ongoing. Then look again into the data model, get the best parameters that fit this particular arc, push it out, and then again go through the whole continuous loop cycle to see, well, how well is it doing? Do we need still to tweak it? Conclusion, as I'm approaching the end here. Part one, DDoS is out there, and it won't go away anymore. I'm sorry. You might or might not ever be hit. You don't know yet. Don't conclude from the past to the future. That just that you haven't been attacked yet doesn't mean you won't be attacked tomorrow. And the question is it an if you want to be attacked or is it a when? There's multiple architectural and technical options to deal with it. Likely, there's nothing that's going to work 100% for sure in all possible cases without any changes and continuous evolution. Let's be clear on that one. It's something you need to tune. There is no free lunch in dealing with DDoS. That's what I told you in the options in the beginning here. The one or the other way, this is going to cost you money, either now or on day X, but there's no free lunch here. So the best thing you can do is use the time to think about when you want to spend that money, how much you want to spend, and how much level of protection you want to get for it. Conclusion part two, and this is going to be my last slide. The attack weapons and the methods of DDoS have changed and evolved over time. The bad guys have also learned, and the bad guys are also using modern technologies, regrettably for the wrong purpose. The only way out of this is you better evolve and improve your defensive weapons as well. Otherwise, you won't be able to counter this. More and better knowledge of what is happening in your network or to your network, that's a matter of looking at it, is key to better defense because you need to add source info here. You can't deal with encrypted traffic just on destination basis. You also can add the info from the database of previous attacks gathered from other people in the community. This helps a big lot because, I mean, the devices out there that do DDoS attacks don't change that quickly, or to a big extent, they stay the same. Improve how you learn, what you learn, the speed of learning, sample port mirroring, not CFLOD, yeah? And the quality of your data interpretation. Use big data, use AI. It's out there. These technologies exist. And always the key rule, mitigation can only be as good as the data you put into it, so as your monitoring and your analysis are. Secure the edges of your network, drop traffic as early as possible, meaning utilize what you already paid for, use your existing routers to counter DDoS if their performance helps the case. If putting filters on your routers that don't match reduces throughput already, be careful. And scrubbing is a nice thing and works, no question here. Watch the scale, watch the cost, and think about what you do with encrypted traffic. That was it then, folks. Thank you.
Thank you, Oliver, for your talk. I think we have time for one quick question.
Did I say all or nothing on the topic?
Doesn't look like there are any questions. Okay, we have one question from the internet.
Since attackers use AI-ish applications, how important is for the filters AI capabilities, and do you think this could reduce false positives?
That is the hope and the claim. What can I say? It's the only thing to try. I mean, what else will you do? If the attackers use better weapons, you need to try better defense. You will see whether it works or not. Nobody can sign you with blood today that this is going to work, but not trying it is for sure not going to work. That's the way we can put it.
Thank you. Thank you, Oliver, for your talk.